repeated rain we've had lately. We ask thee to watch over us, to help us make the decisions that are necessary, to provide guidance for us, and at the end of the meeting, take us home safely. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right, the first item on our agenda is a declaration of abstentions under conflicts of interest by board members. If there's anything foreseen by any of you on those, not, then the next item is to consider approval of the minutes from our last board meeting. Does anyone have any comments about the minutes?
I got a chance to read them. I thought they were pretty accurate. I'll make a motion to approve them.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Nobody's opposed. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I have to leave early tonight. I apologize.
Okay. Okay. All right, we'll move. We've got a few things to rearrange on our schedule for that. When do you have to leave, Paul?
About 7 o'clock.
Okay. So. Let's have a real quick financial report then, Mandy.
All right. There's not a lot to report on. If you have any questions, we've got several charges from Cartercrete. That's the concrete that's being used at the recharge. The guys have been working hard out there. And other than expenses that went into the water festival, we have the audit expense. The auditors couldn't come because of our schedule change. They'll be here next month. And there's just some yearly fees that came out of the budget this time. So as far as the expenses, that was it, unless anyone had any questions.
Not then. Thank you. We need to have a motion then to approve the payment of our bills from the adjusted from the last month. Somebody make that motion.
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Do you want to go to that number 7 now, Paul? Or do you want to go through some other financial arrangements first?
I don't think there's anything specific that we need to cover in the budget that's changed substantially from last month, so we're okay to do that.
All right. All right, then. Let's move down to number 7 on our agenda, which is to consider adoption of a resolution and a commitment of the Bureau of Reclamations. Not Revelations. Reclamation.
Yeah, so
that's what this is. You have copies of this?
Yeah, so this resolution is in support of this document. This was the funding grant that we agreed that we would partner with AE2S Engineering. They've done a really good job. We went through this several times now, Kelly and I. There's just a couple of other minor adjustments to some graphs and labeling, but other than that, all of the substance is there. A couple of neat things in the back is the amount of letters of support that we've got for this and our project, ranging from Cedar City and Enoch and Chris Stewart's office, and Mike Lees is supposed to be getting here, the Division of Water Resources, several agricultural producers, some larger producers, and then as well some of our outlying communities. They're not part of the district, Paraguna and Parawan. And so it was neat to see their support for this project, understanding that even though some of those are not part of the district, the necessity of water needs in the area and how they, you know, it's kind of a global economy for all of us here. So, Kelly, anything you want to add to the document? About the document,
I think they've done a nice job. As Paul said, it summarizes the desire and the need to put together a true business plan on this project to get all of that put together and how we're going to move forward. And I think it based on what we've seen from other awarded grant recipients, this looks like it'll line up really well. And hopefully we'll get us a nice chunk of change to work on.
Good.
Is it too late? I reached out to Senator Lee, and he was interested in doing a letter, but he was kind of caught up in that Supreme Court stuff, so I know he was tied up. I don't know if the, can they still add that later, Paul, if we get one from him? Or?
Yeah, I think that we can. It said that we could add things up to 30 days afterwards. We still have until the 17th to actually submit it. We wanted to try and get it all done by tomorrow. I tried to call Betty again today, and she didn't answer, but I did get a hold of her.
I'll send Senator Lee another text and see if he's...
She said when she got my email, she was going to expedite it up to D.C., and I didn't know.
Okay.
That'd be great. Well, and I think we're in a position now to entertain a motion. Does somebody like to make a motion that we adopt this resolution?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Thank you.
Yeah.
I just needed to make a note. There was a misprint on the agenda. The payments, the financials, were actually only through the 5th of July, and the agenda actually states the 15th. So I just noticed it. So, just for record.
So cross out the one.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Roll call on the resolution. Has to be a roll call on resolution.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Excuse me. Are you guys getting a grant from Bureau of Reclamation to help pay for that pipeline stuff?
We're working on a grant to help study it, yes.
Yeah. It's a grant to produce a water needs assessment and a financial business plan. So it'll go through the financial model of the costs and repayment options and things like that.
Okay, I need a roll call vote on that last motion. Not the motion on the resolution, but the motion on the...
Yes, on the resolution.
Oh, on the resolution. Okay. Paul?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go back then to the general manager's report.
So I'll just start. We began back up with our public relations and public outreach with this committee that we've talked about, and I'll have Jessica talk a little bit more about that in a second. But we had our water festival on June 30th, and I know Joe and Tyler were there, and it was another great event. I can only say thanks to our staff and how well they've done and helped us out, as well as Ensign and Corey Dow with Corello. Sorry, took me a minute to get it. But they were both sponsors and also volunteered a lot of man hours, helped cook hot dogs, and we appreciate them. But it's getting to be a bigger event every year. We had great booths from the district this year that showcased not only some of our recharge projects, but also our incentives that we have for smart irrigation controllers that homeowners can utilize, as well as on the agricultural side, the center pivot incentives that we have. So a couple of neat things there. Jessica, you want to talk a little bit real quick about the where we're at on public outreach?
So we met with Sage Platt to try to get the CERPAC going, and so she agreed to be a moderator for that group. And then we also looked at the list again over to find the people that we want to be on the committee, and we decided to add a few more people than what they had talked about before, just to add more demographics onto the committee, because we really want to get a larger group of people to know about the problem we have with water. And so by the end of next week, we're planning to have that list finalized and narrowed down, and then we'll send out invitation letters to them to invite them to be on our CERPAC committee.
We're going to try to kick that in full gear. Part of this Bureau of Rec grant that we have is a big component of that is public outreach as well. So we'll be spending a lot more time in the community and trying to educate our community on water and water issues in our basin. So should be good. On the operations side, as was mentioned, Tracy and the summer hires have been spending a lot of time at the recharge and putting in a weir at Phil Schmidt's pit. It looks really good. It was all finished the packing in the concrete yesterday. They had to pack it in like the olden days with buckets. They could only get the cement truck so far, so they're hauling
it in. Call the Mexican pump.
Exactly. I wasn't going to say it, but.
She can scratch that from the minutes.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get that from the minutes, but we don't want to get in trouble with the ACLU or.
Anyway, it looks really good, and I appreciate their hard work. It was hot, and it looks really good. So we'll have a good measuring device there that we can quantify exactly what we're recharging.
While we're talking about Phil Schmidt's pit, yeah. He brought something up to me, and I haven't brought it to the council yet, but I need to. But when we recharged in that pit, they had some erosion on that kind of that northeast bank where the road, you know, the road on top.
The south?
No.
More towards Western Rocks.
Yeah, more towards the creek.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
To the north of where we cut through the bank, but there's going to have to be some repairs done. He's worried about that continue to slough off, and so whether it be Cedar City or us or whoever, we might have to help him financially a little bit, do some repairs, put some riprap up that side or something. So
as the water goes in, it comes back and cuts like it'd go cut back into the
I channel. Think it's just the sheer fact that there's water in there and it's getting it wet. It's so steep, some of it's sloughing off, and so there might. Phil brought that up to me the other day. So
but he's got to keep M. Shaw, he's
getting exactly.
Whatever it is,
yep.
I don't know what it is.
And so that's something if we, you know, I mean, I think, you know, we need to consider that. So,
are we using any water now, this bit of high water we've had in the last few days, or anything got out that far? Okay, thank you. That sounds very good.
Just a couple of there. Just our finally finished up most of our normal or a lot of our normal maintenance. That's why we've been hitting some of these recharge things. But we're still scrapping and stretched pretty thin. So we'll continue to hammer those things out. But
Paul, before I leave, the recharge project the city's been doing out there by Metalcraft, just east. I've been out there a few times, and we're getting quite a bit of tailwater from just the Southwest Field irrigation. And it's perking really nice. I mean, there was a steady stream going into that this last week. And have you guys been out and looked at it? It's really neat.
That's the one that the city's doing?
Mm-hmm. They've dug a pretty big, they've dug a lot of gravel out of there, and it's working really nice. And they plan to continue to make that bigger, but it's going to be a great, I mean, Kit estimated that we get probably close to 3,000 acre feet of runoff from the city every year. That goes right out there. So the bigger we can make that, the more recharge we can get there, the more we can handle out to Quichpa. So
is there any way we could get water out of the channel, the Coal Creek channel, into that?
I don't think so. No, well,
it's too far east.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
But we talked with Paul Bittman today about doing something so that can be measured going in and out.
Oh, and I forgot to ask Kit. Was Kit interested in having us put a weir in that so we can measure it?
Well, I'd
asked you about that.
Yeah, I forgot to ask him, Paul. I apologize.
I asked Paul today at the GMP meeting, and I told him that the district would get one. In fact, I've got one on my shelf. We can go if there's a spot to put it in.
Were they interested in having us do that for him?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So you can measure the water.
Yeah. Quantify.
But it's taken everything it gets. It's nothing's run out the spillway. Everything has gone in there. It's perked, so it's good.
Good, good. And that water heretofore has just gone out to Quichpa.
Some of it goes past Mr. Bubbles, and some of that's pumped up to the lake on the hill for that secondary water system. But the rest of it just goes out to the Quichpa or down to those farmers that use it.
Okay, is that all you had, Paul? Okay, and then now we're down to item number 7. This is 7A.
We never did public comment, if somebody wants to comment.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Does anybody want to say anything publicly, Gary, or?
Thanks for the tip.
Well, you're welcome. It's nice to have you here, Mr. Cox. All right, then, let's talk about the district water rates and policy. That we've been discussing that. That's that's the policy on the xeriscapes and that sort of thing. Is that what we're talking about on this one?
Yeah. I think it's, is it under tab number 3? Is that what it is? Behind the resolution? So I just wanted to show, as one of Shelby's last projects before she left, this is what we came up with as far as the tier system that went along with that that structure that we passed within our rates last month. We played around with a lot of different things, but we felt like this was the thing that that aligned the easiest and made a lot of sense, and it was simple, so I think it works. So basically what you've got is you've got your regular tier system that's listed above, and then there was the 20% reduction in water right that they would bring in. And so what you have is a 20% reduction in the gallons that they use at each tier. So if you look at the very top one, that's the original rate, and you look at level number 1 and the far right column, it's 0 to 12. You compare that with the one just below, level number 1, far right column, you can see there's a 20% reduction in water the whole way down before their tiers go up. So this is just setting this out here. We'll have to, next month, we'll advertise and have to go through the public process to be able to, you know, make a new rate structure for those. So
does this change the, does this increase the old rate any?
She did have a proposal. I think we're going to take it out. It does show that there's a 3% increase in levels 1 through 4, but I don't know that we'll keep that in there. I think it's 75 cents per 1,000 right now, so I don't think we'll increase the rate.
Okay. Well, we've done quite a bit of work on this. Is there any further discussion about the...
There is one other point I would like to make, is just throw that out there. And what if somebody has, because we're out in the county, what if somebody has a larger lot and they want to bring in 2 acre feet of water? Could we add in an additional tier above that? You could still structure it with tiers so that they would conserve. And, you know, you'd receive 2 acre feet, but then they would still have the ability to have a little bit of a larger lawn. It's likely, well, they wouldn't be utilizing that full 2 acre feet or whatever it is they bring in. I'd propose maybe that we do a 1.5 acre foot and a 2 acre foot.
Well, the problem I see with that, Paul, is where does it stop? You know, if they have a 2 acre yard and then a 3 acre yard and a 4 acre yard.
Well, we have a lot of people that have a 10 acre yard. Right?
But can't you just take the average, whatever? I understand what you're saying, but try to keep it some simple. I mean, this is like so simple. Mm-hmm. It can't work because it's so simple, I'm afraid. But instead of, I don't know, just make it some simple way to, like, double it or something.
Can you have it just set up to where you say, okay, this is based on this much dedication of water, right? And then just, you know, have a paragraph and then just use an example.
Yeah, that's...
You know, someone brings an acre and a half in or 2 acre feet or whatever, and then just have a,
yeah,
you know, a one or two sentence example about that.
Maybe that's where I was trying to go with it, just trying to keep it...
To make it even simpler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, we'll put together some stuff and advertise that and have it here next time.
That way you've not got this multiplier and all this kind of stuff. You know, you just nice and easy, and if they bring more water, they get more.
It doesn't matter how simple.
And it's still
not understand it.
Still on a conservation tier rate. Okay. Well, I think that's doable. Let's see. We already talked about the water festival.
Do we need a motion to approve that?
No, that will be next month. I was just bringing it here.
So I guess the question is, do we need to see it all before the advertising starts, or are we good with what we just talked about, to have incorporated and then have it be advertised? I'm personally okay with just moving forward with what we talked about, simple illustration.
Me too.
And then you start the advertising process, and then mm-hmm. and then we can make a formal position. Okay. Is that okay?
Sounds good to me. It'll be a big meeting next month.
Cool. Okay, we will do that.
Everybody will show up.
Brent, do you want to report on the field day at your farm?
Yeah, we cleaned up the shop.
Again?
Again. There must have been, 50, 60 people out there from all over the state. And they looked at the, well, we had some presentations from two or three salesmen that are selling different things.
And this is for the LEPA and LISA, the farm, the center pivot. Conservation systems.
Senator Vickers was there and said a few words, but then we didn't have a lot of data from what so far, because the system's only been operational for a month or so. But they were able to give some data from other places as well as from what they had here. And then they went out in the field and looked at the two, there's basically the regular system, the dragon line system, and the LEPA system. They're all right there. Saw them working, so I thought it was quite a pretty good, pretty successful event. I think they felt all right about it. So we'll see. I think we just need more data.
I was surprised how many of them were surprised that you could start your system with your phone.
That was the highlight.
How did he do that?
Well, I was a little surprised.
Well, they're mostly technical people.
Well, of course, they couldn't figure it out.
Well, yeah, there were farmers and a lot of government people. It was a pretty good cross section of people. In fact, what's his name? Greer from the state engineer office was there.
Yeah.
And I think he's still suspect of whether it's really going to save any water or not. But
there was also Todd Adams and Eric Millis, the director and deputy director of Water Resources.
With Water Resources,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So anyway, they said they want to do it again next year. That means they're going to have to clean the place up again, huh?
You'll have a junior front.
He had his shop looking really nice.
You'll have another junior prom in there anyway.
No, sorry. Okay. Next, we're on to, is there anything else we need to talk about aquifer recharge?
Did you say something?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
So we're preparing an RFP to look at that BLM pond. We got authorization from BLM this last 3 weeks ago, I believe. They finally have authorized everything on that BLM pond out there to expand that. And so we're putting together a request so we can send it out to solicit a designer on that to get that going. Keep that project moving along. So we'll continue to oversee, but let them look at how that process goes. So
we need to get out there and look at it, don't we?
Yeah. So it was just the 6th of July that they finally approved that. So a week ago, yeah.
That's good.
So they went through the entire EA. They didn't have any comments, which is pretty surprising, you know.
No turtles or nothing, huh?
Well, they had their own internal comments of environmentally what we had to mitigate through.
But no third party.
But no third party, yeah. you know, we've got to still do the prairie dog surveys, and the biggest thing is migratory birds out there.
If there's no water, they don't migrate there. They migrate right. Other places. They can see from their vantage, from their viewpoint, where there isn't any water.
Yeah. So, yeah, Kelly's geared up on that. I guess we kind of just jumped the gun. I imagine that we were okay with that, to move forward and to go out an RFP and see what it's going to cost and see what we want to do there. Okay.
Okay.
The water fowlers will love you.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, it seems like most people are pretty positive about that project, so.
Mm-hmm.
The wildlife biologist for the BLM is a waterfowl guy, so.
Oh, they're excited then.
So you just call it a migratory bird refuge, and nobody will ever stop you.
Yeah. It's all in the name, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Don't tell them we're shooting them out there. Just tell them.
Yeah, that's right. It's a refuge.
Don't be too sure.
You're not saying what the refuge is for, right? It could be for it's a refuge for hunters.
Built-in blinds.
Yeah, when the construction's going on, duck blinds are being built at the same time. They're observation towers.
Observation towers. Yeah.
Reads.
Yep. Okay, then let's go to number nine. Are we on number nine?
Yeah. Yep.
Wawa and Pine Valley update discussion. Where are we at with that? We making progress, Kelly?
Yeah, we continue to make progress there. It seems really slow, though. We're still just kind of in a holding pattern a little bit. We had a good visit. Tyler was able to go out with us and had a good trip that day. Covered a lot of territory.
Good. Your batteries were good on the weather station.
Yeah. Well, the weather station is just collecting data left and right. It's just our C batteries are holding up. So.
Yeah. Windmills. All you need out there is windmills, I've decided.
See, as soon as you build,
as soon as you build them,
then the wind would quit.
We'd have climate change, huh?
Yeah.
Just one other thing with the West Desert. We've been talking quite a bit with Justin and some of the attorneys up in Salt Lake, and it doesn't look like we can do a basin-wide impact fee to help build a pool of money to pay for this, and so we're looking at some other structures of how we may be able to start potholing some money away, and one option would be maybe to have a basin-wide fee, so each household would pay like $2 per month.
Is that because of the impact fees, because it impacts the basin? Isn't just one area that's being impacted, it's all over the place.
Well, we talked to the attorneys at Snow Christensen Martin, who represent Washington County, who've been in a lawsuit over impact fees for a long Spencer, like a decade.
Yeah, probably.
And they've restructured. Washington County has several times, well, most recently this last year, their impact fee analysis and everything. But bottom line is we're not the main supplier to these other municipalities.
I see.
And Washington County is, and so even with that, there's a lot of gray areas with Washington County.
Well, impact fees themselves are a controversial thing everywhere.
Yep. So, we're going to have to start seeing whether or not that would work, and I'm going to start having some conversations with some other city officials to see how popular that might be. So.
Yeah, that's going to be uphill. Okay, is that all we have on that subject?
It is, yeah.
Next item is groundwater management plan and local water right changes. We had, how was your meeting today, Joel?
We got a lot done because there was very few of us, so we just plowed through it.
I apologize.
No, I think probably the most important thing is that we became aware because of Kent being down last month, that we need to have a draft of that out, probably early spring, that can go out for public comment.
A draft of our proposal from the Ground Run Management Committee.
Yep. So we've got to get the final thing put together on that so we can get it out. But I think there's a little question about what the Division of Water Rights is going to put it out in a format they want, not what we want. But I think they're more than willing to look at what we think can be accomplished and what needs to be done to accomplish it. And that'll be kind of a, I don't know if you call it, somebody called it today, the toolbox that he gets his decision from. So it won't be part of the plan itself, but it'll be there as backup material.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to come up with some time frames as to how much. And we spent quite a bit of time talking about how to get the type data we get. After the meeting, I thought, we talked quite a bit about the time frame and gathering information. And I, when I was on the way home, I thought, well, you know, in on the Colorado River, everybody agreed in 1922 as to what the allocation ought to be, except California and Arizona, and they filed the suit. And for the court to make their decision, it took those two states until 1948 to get the data they needed to make the decision. So that's 40, you know, 26 years. And I don't think it's going to give us that much time. But getting data on water isn't a rapid process when you're talking about, especially like we are in this basin, how much of this recharge stuff was going in anyway, but nobody was keeping track of it. So we've got to try and work on some ways to show how we're going to recommend they get the data to see if we are having an impact or not.
Okay, well, so we've got to keep our nose to the grindstone then, doesn't it?
And I, just for the record, I was not at the GMP meeting today, I apologize, but I was with this group here for most of the day, out by Quichapaw and Thunderbird Garden, so sorry I wasn't there at that meeting.
Okay.
It's a meeting about.
Let's go to water distribution systems. Check, Shawnee. Well, we got trouble, have we? Do you want to give us a report, you guys, John?
We got it about. It was just a little valving problem, is all. A couple little leaks, but
we've got an ongoing issue with Check Shawnee Cliffs and Cedar Highlands, of course. There's no backup sources at either one, and so that's what this is for. Kelly's got some information on some of that, and John's talking about we were losing ground over the 4th of July.
We got the state Division of Drinking Rural Water, there we go, my brain ain't engaging, coming up. They're going to camera our lines up on the springs up there for us. And
it's up on Cedar Highlands?
Cedar Highlands, yeah. They're going to come down whenever they can schedule us in and see about hogging them out for us if there's any deep rooted, and see if it's a temporary fix, but it'll help, you know, so that's on the agenda.
So they're helpful, or they're going to help us, or they?
Yeah, they got a camera and a hog, and they're going to come up and do it for us, you know, with us.
Rural Water is an agency that we're a member of, and they have a lot of technical support, anything that you really need with the water system, and they regularly come down and...
They're great assets.
If they, if John and Tracy schedule them to go in vaults and clean PRVs, they do that annually with you guys, don't they?
So even though they're a municipality, we're just still going to run their water system?
Oh, Cedar Highlands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Unless they ask for it back.
I'm just curious, because they, you know, they're trying to develop their own little city up there because they feel like they're getting beat up left and right with taxes and money and everything, and now I just...
I don't think they
want... I think it's curious. It's kind of weird to me that we're still supplying them water where they're trying to get out of having the county or anybody else helping them, you know?
Well, they were the ones that came and asked us to do it, you know. They wanted
we'll sell them water, and then they could build their own customer.
Oh, yeah. But you see what I'm saying. I'm just, I just didn't realize. I just thought of that. So.
Is that something maybe we want to look at? Now they are. I mean, it's
have
a policy.
Yeah.
Where we don't have a backup, you know, and so forth like that, and what it would take for us to do that. And we've had discussions in the past and tried working, you know, of just... Maybe that's something we put on the agenda to talk about. I didn't even think about that, but
what's that?
Just as far as now they're a city, and do we sell them the system? Do we, you know, where it's an isolated, you know, system, just like Chickchawney is.
Yeah, but Chickchawney's not. I mean, it's still an incorporated.
Right.
So anyway, we'll just go through some of the options. Do you have?
So two different things. Two different systems. We're looking at Chickchawney's listed first, so we'll go through that first. They've had some issues, and we've talked about it in board meeting on, you know, they have calcification and different reactions that are happening within their water system, and that are causing issues in the plumbing in most of the homes, or many of the homes.
A lot of them go through a water heater a year.
Most houses. For some reason, really getting bad hard water deposits and everything. So what we're doing there is we've looked at a few different options for mechanisms or filtering type mechanisms to adjust that water to hopefully diminish their issues there. So we have a couple of different companies that are going to be coming down and looking at the issues and giving us some recommendations, some pricing, different things to work out what we can figure out there.
I think you ought to do it at point of use. Filtration.
You mean have each homeowner do it?
We did that in Fallon, Nevada for arsenic. Instead of building a huge arsenic treatment plant, they just did point of use, and it was a whole lot cheaper than...
The only thing I would say, and I would agree, Tom, that's a great thing, but not saying we don't do that, don't do the point of use, but... Whereas the arsenic is more of an element of the water, whereas this, you know, I don't know what our lines look like, but I mean, if the residential lines are getting constricted, what are our lines? What's our infrastructure like? So if we could catch it right at the wellhead, kind of thing.
Yeah, but then you'd have to go clear to the pump.
Right.
Again,
I don't even know if that's possible. I'm just thinking over time, our main lines are going to start
going. Usually, my experience has been that usually happens
lines up the ions
more so when it's heated, when the water like hits the water heater.
Mm-hmm. The mineralization.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a lot of buildup on our valves or heaters. We've taken them apart on our end. There's not a lot of buildup. So it's... Seems like it's more in the home, to be honest with you. We pull meters and...
But
that's one of the options that ought to be looked at.
Yeah.
So we'll be covering that with them over the next
So how does that, who does that work within the home? What are you responsible for in point of use? Anything?
Well, I don't know how it's set up out there, but the municipality is only responsible really to the
meter.
Otherwise, I'd have come to the water board and when I spent $1,500 for my water softener and said, you know, buy me a water softener because it's, you know, my dishes are dirty. But
that's what I'm saying. So what I guess I'm asking what point of use is.
The system is installed in the house. You give them the options, the stuff that's available to fix their water.
So you supply them with
information more than anything. In Fallon, they did it on a big, huge grant.
Just information. You don't supply them with money to.
I don't. Because
obviously,
you have
become
to.
Ownership of.
If you supply them with the money, if you supply the machine, then John's got to go fix every single one of them. You might as well just build a treatment plant.
Yeah.
And then you only got to fix one of them.
The tell them is they only have to work their system every few years as opposed to a water heater every year.
Mm-hmm.
Sell it to them as you're going to save $100 a year, $150 yeah. bucks a year, maybe they'll go for it.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to see if there's something we can find that they can use in their house because I know a lot of them have. A lot of them have water, you know, two different types of. Some of them will run the salt and the Nuvo or whatever.
And the Go Green.
Yeah, they have two water softeners and you know and then reverse osmosis at their tap and they still come in and bring relics into the office of stuff that's corroded afterwards. So.
Maybe that should be on
what
the
about,
realtors.
What about with all of the...
Maybe it should be on the realtors when they're selling it. By the
absolutely.
Way, the water sucks out here.
I mean, one of the first things when I built my house was I went to John and says, what's the hardness of my water? Remember that?
Yeah.
Just so I knew what I was getting into.
What about all of the fussing around down there with Bob Holt? Has that affected us any with all of his well drilling business? Are we okay with that?
What has our well levels done over the year? Do you guys know?
Down there in Chuck Johnny?
Yeah.
I don't think they fluctuate that much.
Haven't done too much.
So we're okay. We're okay.
They're running right by our well house. One right next to it that
drilled a well on an old
caused issues with pump sand. So
it was there first.
Yeah.
Got to find a fault right there.
I looked at it.
We've been doing it for a long time.
Freaking
fault
right there.
Yeah, that's right there.
He was probably 10 feet one way.
Okay, what about Cedar Highlands? We talked about that.
Yeah, in Cedar Highlands, we actually do have a secondary supply there, which is a well. We have the issue with the well is that there's a sulfur smell, and it's strong enough that we really have tried not to ever put that into the system because we'll get complaints, and nobody likes that. And when you
it happened one time, and you can ask John and Tracy about what happened that one time.
So that one, but with the drought that we are in, we've seen serious declines in our spring production. So we want to get that well so that we can produce out of it. And so we're looking into various different types of treatment there, from carbon filters to sand filters to chlorination and other such things to treat it. But we've got a couple of different vendors coming down or, you know, representatives coming down to look at the system, do a walkthrough with us. That'll be next week. I've asked Tom to participate a little bit in that. And you guys obviously need to be involved next Wednesday. So kind of set a little bit of time aside. We can do that. So, but it's moving forward. The other thing that we can do there is, and we need to go look at, and you guys are looking at it all the time, but those lower springs have always produced more water than we're capturing. And I don't know if that's still the case, even with the drought. You're still seeing a lot of water going down the hill. So, you know, redevelopment of those springs and capturing a little better production of water out of those is an option that we ought to think about too. As we nail down prices and different things, We put together an estimate on the springs, just because it's, and based on the size of those and what it would take, we're looking, you know, somewhere in the range of about $70,000 to redevelop those two lower springs and rebuild those and get, capture as much water as we can. Spring development's always a variable project, because you get in, you have to dig, you have to find the lenses, you have to find the water where it's coming out, and then build the suit so that you can capture as much as you can. So that's just an estimate, but kind of gives us a rough idea of where we're looking at. We'll look at the filtration systems, and then we'd like to look at what the decision process, we'd like to go through the decision process to decide which way we want to go. If we wanted to go ahead and put a filter system on and just pump the well, or if we want to spend some time on the springs that, you know, we don't have to put much on.
There is one other option too, and that's to build the pipeline from Linford's well and to find out what he'll charge us. So that is an optional review as well.
And we put a cost estimate together for that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You were getting there?
That's the other option.
Yeah. So the cost to get a pipeline over from there in a 6-inch line, you're looking at about $92,000.
From Linford's well?
Mm-hmm. So 92, of course, he can do it cheaper if he did it himself.
He'll could.
Tell you that, but
he certainly could. You wouldn't owe him anything else.
But the fluctuation of what the price might be, you may never know. So depends on if you need water or not, I'm sure.
How much are we paying per 1,000 gallons today?
I recommend you do everything you can without getting tangled up with Linford.
Don't put that in the minutes.
I like it.
If you didn't deal with his kids, that might be worse.
That's what he says.
All right, Cross Hollow Hills, what's that?
We'll talk about that in closed session.
All right. Next member, board members report. Anybody have any?
I got to go. I got a town board meeting right now.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I need to report that I had a meeting with Curtis relative to a little project up here by Rusty's. But I haven't heard anything back from him. We need to get a hold of Russell Lim and meet with him sometime and just go out there and walk on that thing and see. But
do you have his contact information?
I don't have it on me, no.
Okay.
I don't think I do anyway. Let me see. He's
I met him from years ago.
No, I didn't. Well, I can get it pretty fast, though.
Okay.
If you need it. Any other reports from any of you? I'm a little curious, and I was late to the meeting. But what's your impressions of this presentation here tonight?
I want to look into it more. I mean, I spent quite a bit of time, you know, today.
Did you?
There's some of Cedar City was there and so forth as well. I don't know. That's a really good question. I think there's something to some of it, but maybe not all of it. I don't know.
Kind of like Spencer. I think there's always opportunities to learn more and different techniques to learn more. But, you know, today I got to witness the turbocharged witching sticks.
Turbocharged.
And I have never been a fan of witchcraft.
Well, that's a misnomer, though. It's really not witchcraft.
Well, I've seen guys with witching sticks, witch water, and hit power lines. You know, it's. But I'm always open to new ideas. But I looked at one of their slides, and it just kind of confused me because he said they had, 3,200 degrees Celsius or 1,800 degrees Celsius. the temperature was when it was making water, and then it come in contact with liquid hydrogen, and if I'm not mistaken, Kelly, you may correct me if I'm wrong here, liquid hydrogen's about 500 degrees below zero.
Right.
You know, how can there be two, without having an explosion happen, two extreme temperatures come in contact with each other and it turns into water? So, like I say, I'm open to, I find it interesting to see, but, you know, it's kind of...
Bottom line is they want our money, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, I hired a hydrologist a few years ago to tell me where to drill a well, and I had an old guy named Vern Grimshaw say, sit down on my sidewalk here, I'm going to get my talking stick out. And he pulled a piece of soapstone out of his pocket and drew on the sidewalk a mountain. And he said, you see the bottom right here? I said, yeah. He goes, drill there. And I said, okay, can I take the sidewalk with me back to my council to show my council what you said? So, I don't know. I guess there's all kinds of different things.
Well,
I think we all want to believe that it's there. You know what I mean? Sounds cool. Sounds neat.
I had a driller tell me one time that if you haven't hit water, you haven't drilled far enough. So
that saves you on mobilization costs.
That's right.
Driller, I would tell you that too.
Just keep drilling.
That's what all the drillers tell you. You just didn't go, just like Gary Player said, well, we just didn't go deep enough.
But I did send John a text during it that says he cannot have witching sticks, like the turbocharged witching sticks. So
I just appreciate that the guy at MIT wrapped it with electrical tape.
Yeah.
he bent the antennas into the shape he wanted and then wrapped electrical tape to put them together. I thought that was a pretty ingenious MIT thing to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He didn't appreciate Brent's comments about Baleenware, though. I did.
No, he didn't. He must have paid a lot to that MIT guy to bend that wire in that shape.
That was an engineered special bend is what that was.
Did you get a hold of him today, Spence?
I get in touch with who?
Did you get a hold of the wires? Did it work for you?
It did.
How do you know?
There are dowsers, and I know your dad was, and I walked with Eldon Schmutz 100 times. But I guess what bugged me was that an MIT guy put it together so that it can work better than Eldon's.
But see, the truth, the whole truth of it is you can take them sticks and you can go walk along and the little sticks will cross, which means absolutely nothing at that moment. Because the only time that means anything is when you poke a hole in the ground and whether you hit something. Now, did the sticks tell you, or did the drill steel going in the ground tell you that you hit water?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you that when you take physics class and they measure the electrical field around people with a high electrical field can winch, people with a low can't. And you can do that on water lines. You can make them work on water lines. And that's how you can show that.
I find as-builts work better than switching sticks do.
Well, sometimes as-builts have been proven wrong. Then what do you do?
I am not the...
Okay, well, anyway, thank you for your report. Anything else, Kelly, on the engineering report?
I think we've covered everything.
Okay.
But can I just go back really quick? Sorry, I know we jumped to jail.
That was my diamond.
I think Alan Gardner is 100% behind this.
Yeah, who's he? Is that the St. George County Commissioner?
Yeah. So he was a county commissioner for over 20 years down there.
Forever. Yeah.
And I would be shocked if Washington County doesn't do something with these guys in time. So I think we ought to some way track this and maybe see how their success works.
It's a good idea.
And maybe we visit it. So I'm not saying we let it go, but I think that there's some
some opportunity there to see how their experience happens. Because if he's behind it, I know enough of the inner workings of Washington County to where I think that they will move forward at some point.
Well, when Paul invited invited me down to the full presentation of the Universal Model down in St. George a month or so ago, Alan was there. Of course, you know, he's 100% behind it. Okay. Ron Thompson was there with some of his staff, and then also the current county commissioner and new director of Washington County Conservancy District. He was there as well. So,
what's Thompson's disposition on this?
I didn't talk to him about it. Russian. Looked like he was asleep for most of us.
He's getting further away from it. I mean, he's still involved, but he's weaning away quickly.
Well,
he's only got a few more months left.
Is he going to retire?
Yeah.
Let me know. Well, that'll be quite a change.
I think next fall. I think he's got a year left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Next meeting is the 16th of August. We need to have a closed session for a closed session item, so I'll entertain a motion that we go into closed session.
I'll make a motion we close this meeting and go into closed session.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Aye.
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 Aye. I was in Thompson's office Monday.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
You're welcome. It was good to see you.
Thanks, Carl.